Shall we pray? Father, you have given us life, Lord, to live, Father. Life, O God, to receive and realize, Father. A life, O God, to be developed within each one of us, Father. A life to be manifested in our spirits, our souls, our bodies. Life to be manifested in our hearts and in our minds. Life to be manifested, O God, in our words, our deeds, in our actions, O God. In everything, O God, that we do in spirit, soul, and body, you mean to manifest in us a life, Lord, the life of Jesus, Father. The life that has been given to us, O God, even as we have been born again, Father. The seed of your word planted into us, that word of life, Lord, that will enable us to receive and realize a newness of life, Father. Release that life into us, Father, that we may rise to live the life of Jesus, to understand that you mean to build each one of us in the life of Jesus, that you mean to manifest that life in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean to empower and energize that life in the faith and love of Jesus, that you mean to manifest, O God, that life, O God, through his thoughts, through his witness, that you mean to communicate, O God, that life to us, O God, enabling that life in us, Father, through his Spirit, Father. So we ask you to bless us in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless us in his name. We ask you to bless us in his fullness. We ask you to enable us to leave the past and walk into the future that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has given us life. We have been born again so that we can receive a newness of life. And God wants us to receive that life, and God wants us to live that life. We are Christians, we have come alive to God. God has given us the privilege of realizing all that he has for us in our hearts. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. From verse 10. Hear my word, hear my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom, I have led you in the right paths. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Praise the Lord. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. It starts by us giving attention to God's words. And God wants us to hear his words, to receive his words. He wants us to receive those words in our heart. And he says that the issues of life come forth from our hearts. God wants to do so much in our lives, but so often we are concerned with doing things the way we think they are right. The way we want them to be done. God can never work in our lives the way we want. That will never happen. God will work in our lives the way he wants. He is God. He cannot do that which is wrong. He will only do that which is right. And we need to understand that God wants us to discover his ways. The purpose of the word of God is so that we will receive and realize the ways of our God. So that we will receive and realize the ways of our God, and we will receive the meaning of life that he wants to give us. When you look at the Greek word rhema from John 6:63, you will find that that word rhema, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, are spirit and our life. Spirit to enable the life that he wants to bring into us. So In the book of Proverbs, the Holy Spirit is communicating to us these ideas. Give ear to my words. Let my words manifest in you a new life. Let my words manifest in you a new spirit. Let my words enable you to live a new life. Enable my words to bring into you a new form of life. When we look at the word life that is tied to our salvation, in the New Testament it is represented by the Greek word Zoe, Z-O-E. And Zoe is the life of God. And that life God wants to bring into us. That life is what God gives us through His Rhema word. That life He wants us to receive and realize. He wants us to receive and realize that life through the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ will enable us to live that life. You know, when we started our school of ministry, we talked about the Rhema word, the revelation word, the word that is given to us in revelation knowledge, the word that God manifests in our heart. The purpose of that word is to bring to us a new life. You see, when the word of God comes into our life, we have to understand that word and we have to accept that word. We have to give ear to what that word is saying. And when you give ear to the word of God, when you understand the word of God, when you accept the word of God, you will also realize that the word of God demands that you leave the things of the past. Leave those things that are not right. Right? If you read the Bible, you will find that the word of God demands that you forgive. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. Jesus says that that is the law and the prophets. So, as you receive and realize the word of God, and you must understand that the purpose of the word of God is to give you life, you must understand that there are demands that God makes of you as He releases that word into you. These are demands that will ensure that you will be set free. These are demands that will make sure that you will find a new life, and in that new life realize also a new character. Because you're not going to live what you are not. You can only live what you are. And God wants you to understand that the purpose of the word is to create in you a new heart, create in you a new thought process, to create in you a new lifestyle, to create in you new abilities, to create in you a new perspective on life, to create inside of you a whole new universe of reality. See, when God gives you the word, He wants you to receive that word. He wants you to energize that word through tongues. He wants you to pray that word. He wants you to understand that in that word, God is bringing into you a reality that is not of the world system. You're not going to find solutions for life in the world system, no matter how hard you try. There are no solutions in the world system. All solutions come from the heart of God. All abiding solutions. I don't mean solutions that appear to come to you in the systems of the world, and you find ultimately that those are really not solutions. But I mean the real solutions that are life-changing solutions. Solutions in which you can see the hand of God lead you in your life. See the hand of God prosper you in your life. See the hand of God heal you in your life. See the hand of God bring inside of your life a newness, an abundance. God wants you to understand the life that comes from God. God wants you to receive the provision that comes from God. God wants you to realize all things from Him. He has saved you, and that process of salvation is the heart of His provision. He wants you to leave the evil way. He wants you to leave the ways of the world. He wants you to forgive those who have hurt you. He wants you to forgive those who have disappointed you. There are basic things that God wants to deal with us. You see, you cannot live a new life if you think the old way. You cannot live a new life if you're not prepared to understand once and for all that sin is a curse. That nothing good is going to come out of your ways. Jesus said, I am the way. What is He saying? The right way comes out of me. Either He told us a lie or He told us the truth. Every Christian has to make that decision. Did Jesus tell me the truth or did he tell me a lie? Is he really the way or is there a way that I can just design for myself and develop for myself and just carry on trying to live that life? Many Christians give lip service to what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. But one of the reasons why God wants you to see the Word in Jesus Christ, see the Word through what Jesus has released to you at the cross. What has Jesus released to you at the cross? At the cross, Jesus has given you a faith and a love you don't have. At the cross, Jesus has released to you a forgiveness that can heal you and set you free. At the cross, Jesus has given you, right, His fullness. At the cross, Jesus has given you a character and a nature you don't have. And at the heart of everything that God wants to bring into your life is this person called Jesus Christ. You cannot understand the words of God unless you see it in the fullness of Jesus Christ. By the fullness of Jesus Christ, I mean that you must understand that word as being described to you through the love and faith of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus. So you have been hurt. You have been disappointed. The solution is from Jesus. You have to ask. Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. All who ask will receive. If you seek, you will find. All who seek will find. If you knock, it will be open to you. To all who knock, it will be open to them. Many of us are not seeking. Many of us want God to work our way. It won't happen that way. And it's so important for us to understand that God wants to do things in our life in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus alive to us. So when Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, He will teach you all truth. John 16 verse 13. He's telling you that the truth that comes in Him is manifested to you by the Holy Spirit. In John 16 verse 14 He says, He will glorify me, the Holy Spirit. Right? He will glorify me. He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. That mine that He wants to disclose it to you involves the perfect faith of Jesus, the perfect love of Jesus, the perfect character of Jesus, the thought processes of Jesus Christ. Right? The spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't go to the cross just to theologically save us. Jesus went to the cross to manifest something in the Spirit. That's why Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 says that the blood of Jesus was shed in the eternal Spirit. What stands in the blood of Jesus? The reality of His character and His nature for you. The reality of His forgiveness for you. The reality of His faith and His love for you. Right? See, the prophet Isaiah announced, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, God's solution for our lives is Jesus Christ. So we must understand that everything that is going to bring something new in our lives has to come out of Jesus Christ. It is not just a thought, it is not just a principle, it is not just talking about success, it is not just talking about deliverance, it is not just talking about healing, it is talking about Jesus. That healing has to come out of Him, that deliverance has to come out of Him, right? It is when God takes something of Jesus and puts it inside of you that there is healing and there is deliverance. When God takes something of Jesus and puts it inside of you, that's what becomes success in the future. So of His fullness we have all received, John 1:16. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Truth sets you free. Grace enables you to do what you cannot do. Hello. As you face difficulties, what is it that God is trying to tell you through those difficulties? You cannot live in your own strength. You cannot live depending on yourself. You cannot live depending on your plans and your purposes. You need God to live. Life comes from God. It is life that is lived. It is only God who can change your situations and circumstances. It is only God who can open a pathway for you. You have to understand that very fundamentally. When you are in trouble, when what is it God is trying to get through to your heart? If you have seen failure in your life year after year after year, it is not because God doesn't want to do anything in your life. It is because God wants to tell you straight and the straight way that you have to look to Him for that solution. And don't forget that. You cannot find a solution for yourself. It does not work, guys. Year after year after year, when you have gone through difficulties, what is the message of those difficulties? You have tried your best and your best has not been good enough. You have worked hard and your hard work has not been good enough. You need favor. You need God to open doors that you cannot open. I know the wicked man appears to prosper, but the Bible says you have not seen his end yet. But where you are concerned, you are his sons. And what God is striving to show us in our lives is that when will you listen to me and come to me for everything that you need? The first thing that you need is a new character and a nature. The first thing that I need to do inside of you is to change your thinking, to change your perspectives on life. You know, some people, when you talk to them, they will always tell you, you know, someone else is to blame for it. Hello. If you are miserable inside of you, it is because of you. It is not because of someone else. Let's get it all straight, right? Let's not lie to ourselves. If you are unhappy in your married life, the first fundamental person you look at is yourself. Right? That may be tough, that may be hard, but God wants to get through to us that the problem is us. The problem is not the devil. The problem is us. Handling the devil is no problem for God. Right? But we must be prepared to handle the devil that is in our own character. Right? So God has to do that. God has to enable that realization to come into us. God does it through His Word. Right? God does it through His Word. God does it through His Word manifested in your heart. So when you read the Word of God, please understand that the Word of God contains a reality that will set you free from the darkness of the world. Why do you pray in tongues? To energize the Word of God. Right? To energize the Word of God. Right? Let's look at a verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? So God tells you something. Him, that is God, unveiled to you in Jesus Christ, unveiled to you by the Holy Spirit. This God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. So God wants to work inside of you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. But there is a caveat to that. So if you read the second half of the verse, God says that above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works inside of us. That Greek word for works is the Greek word. What Greek word is that? I've got it here in my notes here. That Greek word for works is energio. It is the verb form of the Greek word energia, which is energy. So the verb form of energy is to energize. So the power has to be energized. Right? In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of His power. So the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the word. Rhema word. It is contained in His Spirit and His life. The Holy Spirit has to energize that word inside of you. So that's why you pray in tongues. To energize the word that will set you free. To energize the word that will release you from the darkness. How is the, what happens when the word is energized inside of you? It brings into you a reality. a reality that is of God. Are you with me? You see, look at that verse. He gives to you beyond all that you ask or even think. That is a reality that God wants to establish inside of you. But he says that reality is according to the power that is working inside of you. So he's talking about a very powerful reality, but that reality has to be energized and worked inside of you by the Holy Spirit through the Word. See, God works inside of our lives through the Word. Why through the Word? Because the Word has been given to us to release things to us precisely. We cannot realize the Word of God in our corruption. The Word of God has to be put into our hearts supernaturally by the finger of God. So we have done basic teaching on all of this, right? That when God gave the tablets of the testimony to Moses, it is written that those tablets were written by the finger of God. That those tablets in Exodus chapter 32 verse 16 were the work of God. They carried the writing of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 it says, "You are the letter of Christ, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone but on human hearts of flesh." Right? So God wants to release inside of you that word. Elsewhere in the Bible it tells us that the finger of God is the work of the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in tongues, the work of the Holy Spirit is manifested inside of you. But you need to pray in tongues the reality of the word, asking God to release you, right? To bring into you the reality of the word. Amen? And God will open into you a new thought form. God will begin to bring into you impressions of what you should do. God will start strengthening you. God will start performing His word in your life. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. Jeremiah saw a vision. In that vision God tells him, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" He says, "I see the rod of an almond tree." God tells Jeremiah, "You have seen well." And then he says, "I'm watching over my word to perform it." Amen? I'm watching over my word to perform it. And this is the key to what the scriptures are telling us. God will perform His word in your life. Your life involves your situations and circumstances. You see, but God is not going to perform something in lawlessness. So when the Bible says, "I want you to forgive those who have hurt you, I want you to forgive, I want you to leave the hurts of the past and walk into the future," the Bible is telling you things that are necessary in order for you to receive the freedom and liberty of the Holy Spirit, the freedom and liberty of the truth. God wants you to be set free from those things that will always cripple you. You can't be angry with someone and think you're going to be blessed in the Lord. It won't work. That anger will somewhere along the line come out. You can't be a hurt person and think that God is going to be able to bless you, because those hurts will come out in a thousand different forms and those hurts will cripple you. Yeah? So when God talks about healing, He means that we must get healed. We must get delivered. Right? It is so necessary for us to understand these things. You see, Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock it will be opened to you." See, the work is done by God, but you must recognize the problem. You must recognize what God wants to do. The power is of God. This is about God coming alive in your life. This is about God coming alive in your situations and circumstances. This is God coming alive in your family. This is God coming alive in your business. This is God coming alive in your profession. This is God coming alive in your studies. This is God coming alive to you and developing a life inside of you. Are you listening? But the choice has always got to come from your heart. So he says what we read from just now from Proverbs chapter 4. "Give ear to my words, my son." Right? If you don't give ear to my words, I can't do anything with you. Because you're not listening. When you're not listening, everything inside of you is not going to be aligned to receive from me. Everything in your life is not going to be aligned to receive from me. So listen to my words. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you something that you don't know. I'm trying to bring something into your life that you do not have the power to bring. I want you to show you. I want to show you that I am God. I want to show you what it means to live by me. I want to show you that there is a whole new universe of life that I have for you. That the wisdom of the world does not understand. It doesn't have a clue of that kind of a reality. So you are a son unto God, whether you are male or female. Amen? And you need to understand that He wants to unveil to you that sonship. God has to define that sonship to you. He's got to open that sonship to you in the life that you are living, in your own family, in your own relationships with your children, with your wife, with your husband, in your own relationships with your extended family, in your own relationships with your friends and with your colleagues. He wants to show you that He is God in your working life. He wants to show you that He is God in your situations and circumstances. See, God does not want to be a God of theory. He is telling you, I am the life. The life has to be lived, guys. So having the right character, having the right nature, having the right thinking, having the right abilities, having the right thought processes, having the right kind of faith, having the right kind of understanding, having the right kind of wisdom, having the right kind of knowledge, all that has to come out of the heart of God. How does God bring that inside of you? Through the Word that you energized by the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to understand that you need to pray in tongues, because then you can realize things from God far beyond your intelligence. Because God is not talking to you at your intelligence level. He's talking to you at His ability. That's why in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So when the Word of God comes to us, we must understand God's intent is to bring into us His thoughts, His thinking, the thinking that is described in the spirit and life of Jesus. That thinking, when it's released inside of you, will change you. It will transform you. That's why the Bible says faith has an evidence. It is not make-believe. If you are not seeing the evidence of God, that is something wrong with what the Christian life that you are living. By definition, you should be seeing the evidence of God working in your life. There is no such thing as God cannot work in my life. But you got to understand, give ear to my words, my son. Right? Listen to me. Understand that I'm talking to you. Right? If you insist on living life your way, then you will experience what the world is experiencing. That things dissipate into nothing. Even if you become a great success story, ultimately as you get older, you will see those things that you work so hard for literally disappear. They will lose their relevance to you. You may have a huge bank account, you may have a stable of companies, but if you fall sick, all those have got very little relevance to you. So God is telling you that He wants to work inside of you a different reality where there is a sense of the abiding, there is a sense of the indestructible inside of you, there is a sense of growth, a sense of purpose, there is a sense of life and living that life that is gradually being built inside of you day by day, step by step. That your God is working in your life, that your God is unveiling Himself in your life. That your God is working in your situations and your circumstances. That your God is working in your family life. That your God is working in every one of your relationships. That your God is working in your mind. Your God is working in your heart. Your God is working a new character inside of you. Your God is transforming your life. Your God is creating you. Your God is saving you. Your God is healing you. Your God is blessing you. Your God is anointing you. Your God is enabling you. Your God is empowering you. Your God is energizing you. Your God is expanding your life. Hello. Life means growth. Eternal life means eternal growth. You have to discover that life. The life of the world is a dissipative lifestyle. Ultimately, it comes down to nothing. We die. But when you are alive to God, you always know that you will live and you have an abundance. That's why Paul writes, I have no problems leaving this earthly body. In fact, I have a hunger to discover the life that God has given me in the eternal. But I have a job to do in this temporal life. Words to that effect, he writes, and I think in the book of Corinthians. Right? So you need to understand that there is a reality of life that God wants to bring inside of you. So please understand that as a Christian, you are called to discover the life of God. And so many Christians are not doing that. And God cannot manifest the life of the world. How can He do that? It stands against His nature. It stands against His character. It stands against everything that He stands for. That's why Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the abiding. The kingdom of God has realities that are different from the world system that we live in. The kingdom of God brings into us a different lifestyle. See, the people of the world cannot understand when Jesus says, when someone slaps you on the left, give him your right. They will think it is stupid. But Jesus was talking about something that is very fundamental for man to understand. That there are no solutions in anger versus anger. There is no solution in tit for tat. It never ends. It just keeps on going until it destroys everything. Amen. So you need to understand that it is God that you need to discover in your life. All right. So as you address your life, as you look at your problems, as you look at your circumstances, you will find that if you really have a problem, you will also understand that the solution is beyond you. If you have come to that point in your life where you understand that the solution is beyond you, that's the beginning of a new beginning. Now God can work with you. Now your attitude towards God is right. I need you. I need you to do something in my life that I haven't a clue of. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my family to you. I surrender my business to you. I surrender my situations and circumstances to you. I surrender my relationships with you, to you. Oh God, make a difference in my life. Do what only you can see. Do what only you can do. Lead me in my every day. So learn how to develop your life with God. Look for God every day. You know, before you go to see a client, why don't you spend 5 minutes praying instead of rushing around as if your head was chopped off? Why don't you just spend 5 minutes asking Him to give you favor? Asking Him to open the right doors and close the wrong doors. Before you open that textbook and start spending hours studying what is in the textbook, why don't you spend 15 minutes just praying with God and ask Him to give you wisdom that you don't have, give you knowledge that you don't have, give you understanding that you don't have? Why don't you just spend 15 minutes just praying in tongues, ask God to release into you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the love of Jesus, the counsel of Jesus inside of you. Release inside of you some measure of the mind of Christ. Instead of just working hard, working harder and harder and harder. How hard do you want to work? And when you have worked hard and you start building big things, then you have the problem of sustaining it. Why don't you just build it in God? Because He will sustain it then. And you don't have to worry about how it's sustained. It will sustain. You don't have to worry about your subordinates will be honest with you or not, because God will direct their hearts. He will remove those who are not right, and He will bring into your life those who are right. And if He does allow the wrong person to be there, it's to teach you a lesson. Right? But it's time for us to let God be God. It's time for us to understand that we cannot live life that the life that we live is a very destructive life. It's a life full of sadness. It's a life full of disappointments. Haven't you discovered that yet? Look at your life in the past. What do you see there? Now look into your future and understand that God is talking about a new life. God's life cannot be this junk that we have been living for the last umpteen years. So make a decision before God. Oh God, I've got so many weaknesses in my character, but I trust you to bring forth in me a new character. Don't you want the character and nature of Jesus Christ? Who else do you want to be like? Don't you want to see the power of God moving through your life? That's what it's all about. See, God has chosen you to be kings, prophets, and priests. What's that all about? It's about God coming through your life. And God wants you to discover the skill of living by God, living through God, living in God, living for God, so that everything in your life will be blessed by God. Don't live with your own mediocrity. Haven't you seen enough quarrels in your family? Haven't you seen enough unhappiness, enough bickering? Why continue with that life? So Jesus says, you forgive. Never mind if that guy has hurt you. You forgive. You get out of it. The solution starts with you, not with him. Him means the other guy, right? We always like to start the solution with somebody else. No, it starts with you. The only person you can really influence is yourself. So the solution starts with you. It starts with me. I have to change. And only God can change me. Only God can change me. What is the pattern of change to be like Jesus? Some of us haven't quite come to terms with that. We say to be like Jesus, we sing to be like Jesus, but we don't want to be like Jesus. How about that? Again, that is something you take before God. And you need to address why you don't want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be good because I want to continue with my selfish ways. And God is telling you there's nothing good that is going to come out of your selfishness. But somewhere along the line, you have to receive God's line of thought. But you will find that in real life, most human beings find it actually impossible to receive God's line of thought. Listen to what is being said. All human beings find it impossible to enter into God's line of thought. That's why God has to give you His word. And that's why God has to write His word inside of you and make His word come alive inside of you, so that He can bring into you a different reality. It is God who gives you that reality. So in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 27, it says, God will put His spirit within you and cause you to walk in His statutes. And that's the key. God has to cause you to do something for it to really work. And if God is prepared to cause you, what is your problem? Your problem is actually your own nature. Right? You still want to hold on to life the way you want to hold on to it. And God is telling you, it doesn't work, my child. So some people insist on doing it. So, you know, after they have been born again, they spend the next 20 years learning a lesson. What is the lesson? That your way does not work. Your way is not my way, says the Lord. So some Christians learn it, some Christians never learn it. But bless the Lord for those who actually learn it, because after 20 years they find a new beginning. It's a bit hard to penetrate all the stubbornness and all the self-righteousness and all the arrogance, but ultimately thank God that God does triumph. But the sad part is there are so many who will not allow God to do what He wants to do. They will simply not allow it. They will bluff their way through. They will bluff themselves. They will cheat themselves. They will pretend as much as they want. Oh, I am okay. The problem is always my wife. The problem is always my brother. It's all right. I'm okay. I'm a good guy. In fact, if I think of it, you didn't have even come on the cross. I would have worked it all out. I'm so good, actually. Hello. That's the thinking God has to break through. So don't waste time. In the end, God is the only one who's going to have His way. You are not going to have your way. You know, if you have a rebellious child, 9 times out of 10 you have rebellious parents. That child is being manifested in your image, that's all. And the reason why you have a stubborn child is God is trying to tell you, because you are stubborn in your ways before me. Hello. Am I right? That's what I found out in my life as a father. Right? That my children all reflect some part of my image. And every time I see their rebellious side, I say, my goodness, where did they get that from? And the Lord says, that's you. That's really you. And since you won't look at yourself, let me show you who you are through your children. So, listen carefully to what God is telling you. Right? If you're having problems with someone who is older than you, my father just doesn't understand me. Hello. When you look at your father, you will see a lot of yourself there. So you have to make the breakthrough. You have to get out of it. Right? Is it easy? Depends on where you're looking. If you're looking at yourself to work the solution, you're not going to find it. It's going to be very, very painful. It's going to be very, very hard. You're going to spend a lot of years going round and round the wilderness. But if you look to God, the solution will come through. Yes, it will be at times painful. But it's a pain that will be replaced with joy. It's not the kind of pain that in the world is pain and more pain and more pain and more pain. Right? When God takes us through a painful reality, at the end of that reality, there will always be a victory, there will always be a joy, and you will never look back and the same thing again. So trust God and go forth. Trust God and go forward. Don't let the darkness of the past deprive you of your future. So many people live anchored in the past. They want the past to change. I cannot change the past, guys. It is utterly stupid. You can't go back into time and change the past. My parents loved my other siblings more than they loved me. Hello. You can't go back and revisit that. All you have to discover is that God loves you more than anyone else loves you. And in the love of God, you have a new position, a new future, and you have a whole new tomorrow. But God cannot take you back into your past and transform your past. That's nonsense. So stop yearning for what might have been and what could have been and what should have been and what... It's this foolishness. Yet so many people spend their whole life pining for something that has gone by already. Right? How many times did Jesus say in the Gospels, let's go from here. Right? We have learned something here. I have taught you something here. Now let's go from here. Right? Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that sort of a thinking process. Right? That God is going to keep on propelling you forward because He's got a great ambition over your life. I mean, you really want to talk about success, think of some of the thoughts that are in the Bible. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That God has called us sons, right? That God has anointed us to be kings, that God has anointed us to be prophets. God has anointed us to be the dwelling place of God. He wants to put His name there. He wants to put His heart there. He wants to put His ear there. So you need to understand that God's ambition over your life, He saved you. He came down to die for you, to release you from the law, to unfold you to grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, so that you will receive the abundance of God. When will you understand that Christianity is about the abundance of God? It's about what God can bring into your life, the richness of the heart of God. And we stop that richness and that wealth of the Father's heart from manifesting because of our own stupid ways. We want God to do things our way. Hello, brother, it will never come your way. How can God do things your way? Your way and my way is a dumb way. Right? If you look at your life, it reads like a chronicle of one gigantic disaster. And you want God to do things in your way, what, you want Him to make a bigger disaster? Doesn't work like that. He's got to get you out of that disaster. Right? So He says, forgive. Right? So He says, repent. Why? Because you need to do that. You got to get out of that hole. You got to get out into the things that God has for you. You have to be set free. And so many of us miss the process of change that God is bringing inside of us, not realizing that unless we change, He cannot bless us. Because if He does not change us, we will end up becoming anointed snakes. Why do you want to be an anointed snake? If you were God, will you allow an anointed snake to just come up so that, you know? So what, you create another Satan? So God has to deal with us. Why is that so difficult to understand? Looking at the cross, why is it so difficult to trust God? Amen. Who else can you trust? You have trusted yourself long enough. You still want to continue in that process? Don't you think it's time to trust God? But to trust God means to surrender yourself to Him, to allow Him to work in your life, to give Him access to your heart and your mind and say, do your own way, Lord. Right? I need to change. You change me. If it means correction, let it be so. What's wrong with correction? You know, sometimes as parents, we want to see our children corrected, and we tell them, you must do this the right way and the wrong way, that this way and that way. Hello. We pray to God and we ask Him to change our children. Hello. If you really want God to change your children, you ask Him to change you first. Yeah? Sometimes you go into a family and everything is going haywire. Everything in the family is upside down. Everything. Right? Every day there is a quarrel. Every day somebody is saying something to somebody to destroy somebody's life. Right? How long you want to live like that? So make a decision. Make a decision before God and say, God, oh Lord, you change all this. Start with me. It always has to start with me. Because you are the vessel through whom God is going to work. Who else is there available to Him except you? Right? But you must understand, and you must understand that it is the power of God that can break through the shackles of idolatry, the shackles of hatred, the shackles of unforgiveness, the shackles of bitterness, the shackles of pride, the shackles of arrogance, the shackles of stubbornness. Hello? Why do people not want to receive Jesus Christ? Very simple, because they are fundamentally prideful, stubborn, and arrogant. That's the only reason. Only a lunatic will not want to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Who else can love you like that? Who else can tell you, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing? Hello. So we need to receive Him. The solution is Jesus Christ. The solution is not a principle. The solution is not, oh, I'm going to be a good guy. That's not the solution. To be a good guy, you have to receive Jesus. If you don't receive Jesus, I guarantee you 100%. I'll give you my head on this, right? You will never change without Jesus Christ. You will become a self-righteous creep, a religious creep. And religious creeps are worse than the most wicked people. The people who pretend to be good. Right? So you need to understand this. The solution is Jesus Christ. Amen? The solution is His favor in your life. Because when He comes alive in you, everything will change in your life. It has to change. Why did God write all those testimonies of people whom He has touched and worked with? They had weaknesses, they had character flaws. God worked with them. God took them from disasters to success. It took time, but God was faithful. That was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, God is giving you everything in Jesus Christ. And He says, nothing has been withheld from you. If you will just come alive to my thinking, if you will come alive to what I have opened to you, I will open to you a whole new life. So stop trying to tell God to do things your way. Stop trying to tell God to do things the way you think it should be done. Let God be God. God sees things and knows things infinitely beyond you and me. Trust Him. Trust Him. You need to trust somebody. You need to try to understand that it is trusting God that is wisdom. That it is only in trusting God that you're going to find a new life. So, look for that relationship with the Lord. Hello? God wants you to know Him. God wants to know you. God wants to see your life manifest in His power. God wants to do something wonderful with you. You know, we are going to celebrate Christmas. The prophet announced that He is wonderful. Is that the testimony of the Christian church today, that Jesus Christ is wonderful? Hello. 2,000 years have gone by. 2,700 years ago, the prophet wrote those words. Is Jesus Christ wonderful? Well, He has to be wonderful in your heart. That's what God wants to prove. Praise the Lord. So be prepared to change. We all need to change. We cannot see the world as it is and say that there are solutions in that world that we live in. No, there are none. There has to be a brand new reality. Why is God's solution worked in Jesus Christ? For one reason. Because to work a solution for the human race, the nature of man must be transformed. If the nature of man is not transformed, man will never be able to live a new life. So the nature that God has given for the solution of the whole world is the nature of Jesus Christ. The lifestyle that God has given for a new world is the faith and love of Jesus. The thought process that is going to enable the human race to think differently is what is called the mind of Christ. So God's solution for your life is entirely Jesus Christ. And if you are not willing to receive Jesus Christ, God will stop working in your life. Because He will always bring you back to Jesus Christ. He will always bring you back to the character, nature, the personality, the thinking process of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus, the love of Jesus. He will keep on bringing the Word back to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. Because there is no other way, there is no other truth, and there is no other life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. See, there's no meaning to words like love and truthfulness and faithfulness except through the character and nature of Jesus Christ. There is no meaning to the word good except through the character and nature and life of Jesus. Who is good? We don't even know what the word good really means, because none of us is good. We are not even good to ourselves. If we were good to ourselves, we will eat differently. We will live differently, we will talk differently, we will think differently, we will relate differently. We don't know what the meaning of good is. Not even for our own selves, we don't know what the meaning of good is. So for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So all of God's love, all of God's purpose, all that God possibly wants to do is all invested in Jesus Christ, and He wants to manifest that reality within our hearts. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. When you were born again, the seed of this child was planted inside of you. But what God wants to realize is, inside each one of us is this reality of the Son Himself. So the Bible says you are to be manifested in His image and in His fullness. You know, we can spend a lot of time sitting down and dissecting the Bible and getting principle after principle after principle. But there's no meaning in the principle without Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You know, you can go out and discover that if you what you sow is what you reap. But you will find out in due course that everything you sowed was a disaster. That's why God brings and He sows into you the seed of Jesus Christ. Right? Because if you don't sow Jesus, you cannot reap Jesus. And if you don't reap Jesus, you will never receive the life of God. Am I telling you the truth? Yeah. So Christianity is not about, you know, thou shalt not kill. Christianity is receiving Jesus so that you will never kill. Because when Jesus comes alive in you, the desire to kill will disappear. In fact, you will prefer to lay down your life than to kill somebody else. But that is the nature of Jesus Christ. That is the nature of Jesus Christ energized within you by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that will ever happen. So arise and walk. So much of potential in the human person. But all of that potential is locked in the seed of Christ. So out of the seed of Christ comes out sonship to God. Out of that seed of Christ comes the root of David. Out of the seed of Christ comes the reality of you and me becoming offspring of David. So Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem meaning house of bread. City of David meaning, David meaning the beloved. So Jesus Christ was not just born in history, brethren, He's born in you and me. We are the new Jerusalem, the city of David, the bride of the Lamb. Read the whole Bible. That's what Christmas is all about. So what have we done with Him? 2,000 years have gone by since He was born. And the church still wants to manifest its own righteousness. We still want to be superstars who are going to touch humanity in our names and our anointings. When are we going to realize that it is only Jesus Christ who is going to make the difference? Praise the Lord. But for that to happen, you must understand the beauty of Jesus. You must come alive to that beauty. Because if you don't experience and realize Jesus as the wonder of your life, you're never going to give up yourself for Him. All right? Praise the Lord. So we talked about a lot of things today. But basically, it is time to live. It is time to get hold of the things God has for us. Look at the years that have been wasted while you try to make a decision as to whether you will live by Jesus or not by Him. And look at the years that have been wasted as you made the decision to live by yourself, to try and figure out things for yourself by trying to live a principle. By asking God to work in your life your way. It's time to change, guys. Don't try and figure out how the change will come. Just rest in God. He will bring the change. You just give Him your heart. All right? You just give Him your heart. You just be true to Him. You just seek Him before anything you do. And whether you make a mistake or you don't make a mistake, it doesn't matter. God will still guide you through all the mistakes that you make. But the key is, if God is there to guide you through the mistake, it doesn't matter that you made the mistake, because ultimately He will get it right through you. Can you see that? And that's the key. Don't go into something without God. It's foolish. Yeah. So spend that time. Build that relationship. Ask. Seek. Knock. Jesus said, if you ask, seek, and knock, you will always receive. So let's trust Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that Your solution in our life is Jesus, our Lord. Your solution in our life is His character, His nature, His thinking, His faith, and His love. Your solution in our lives begins with the solution that Jesus spoke on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, when we look at our lives, we realize that we have not known what we have been doing, Father. We have done many foolish things. We have opened many wrong doors. We have insisted in our ways. We have pursued our ways. We have tried to make You in our image. We have tried to force You to do things our way. Oh God, today we turn to You and we ask You to teach us to live a different life. Teach us to receive Jesus and teach us to live Jesus. Teach us to forsake the falsehood and the foolishness of the past. Teach us, oh God, to trust You. Teach us, oh God, to open our hearts to You. Father, You know that some of the problems in our lives are overwhelming, Lord. But we don't even know how the solution will come. Today we turn to You and we ask You to save us, O God, by Your name, and vindicate us by Your power. We ask You to save us, O God, in the lives that we are living, Father. Deliver us from every evil. Deliver us from the devourer who has taken and stolen so many years, so much of effort. He has stolen so many things from us, O God. Restore to us what has been stolen from us, O God. For we know, O God, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But You came, O Lord Jesus, to give us abundant life. That abundant life comes from You. Enable us to receive that life. So Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to You, asking You to work the miracle of Jesus inside of us, Lord. And through everything that we become, through everything that we do, save us, O God. Let everything that is within us bless Your name. Let everything that is within us seek Your face. Let everything that is within us, O God, realize, O God, that Your way is the only way. That there can be no other way except Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Enable our hearts to receive that message, O God. Enable our hearts to realize, O God, that Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus Christ is success. Jesus Christ is the healing. Jesus Christ is every principle in the Bible. Jesus Christ is good. Without Jesus, there is nothing that is good, Father. So bless us, O God. Bless the church. Open our hearts that we will unveil, O God, the wisdom of the living God. That we will no longer try to make our thoughts Your thoughts, but receive Your thoughts so that our thoughts will be of Your thoughts. So bless us. Unveil in us the mind of Christ. Enable us to hear the witness and testimony of Jesus. Enable us to live that testimony and that wisdom. So that we may see the solution that You have for each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.